And I'm sure I'm going to heaven. Are you? Amen. I know what I know. And I guess if you want to get what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to teach you about eternal security. And I'm going to bring a message, more than just saved. Amen. We're more than just saved. Amen. And I'm going to bring you, I'm not going to preach it tonight, but a lot of times people go through life wondering, boy, I hope I make it. Yeah. And am I really going to make it? No, if you're saved, you're secure in Christ. Amen. And I'm going to give you a great Bible lesson. I'm going to be a preacher and a teacher tonight. And I'm going to give you a Bible lesson to take home with you that I've already got all the stuff on for you that you can study. And it'll help you grow in grace. You can take it and teach others also with it. And so I hope you come back tonight at 6 o'clock. A lot of times Christians, they don't witness and stuff because they're not secure within themselves. God wants you to be secure. I'm secure with Him. I'm not holding on. I'm kept by the power of God. I've got all kinds of failures in my life. But I'm glad there's no failures with our Savior. And so I'm going to bring a message tonight, more than saved. And I'm going to give you a nice outline to take home with you with all kinds of scripture on it. This morning I'm going to preach a message to you. I shared a thought with the teenagers, with the kids on Friday in school chapel. I preached school chapel this last Friday. And I brought a message, why Christmas is so special. Now, some of my teachers are here, but don't panic because the message I'm bringing, even though I'm using the same title, it's going to be a little bit different. You're getting the adult version. there's a version for the little kids, and now this is the grown-up church, amen? And so here's the title, John, Why Christmas is So Special. Christmas is special, folks. We lose the importance of Christmas. We really do. We get caught up in everything. And so these next three messages I'll be bringing, I'll just be focusing on Christ and Christmas and try to bring reality of Christmas to us. Because it's hard. Sometimes we get so caught up and you miss the blessing of Christmas. Christmas is very special if you get the reality of Christmas. Amen? Well, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. By the way, in chapel, I brought five points. I'm only bringing 3 points today. Some of them are even different. Because there's tons of... Brother Mark, I could bring all kinds of things. Why it's so special. And, man, I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. I'm glad Jesus is coming back. And I'm glad I'm ready. Well, I'll tell you, this week, I was in a funeral home Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I've given myself to people all week. When people die, you try to get... Jesus said the lady touched him. He said, who touched me? I felt virtue come out of me. When you give of yourself, virtue comes out of you, and you feel warm. You say, boy, why do I feel so tired? Why? When you administer to people, you say, man... is because you give of yourself, you see. And so but I'm glad Jesus gave of himself for you and I. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 1, and it came to pass in those days, and by the way, it always does come to pass, in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and they kept on doing it. It hasn't stopped. Matter of fact, they've increased it. And this taxing was first made in Washington, D.C. No, I'm just kidding you. Kidding now. Kidding. And this taxing was first made by Cyrenius, who was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone in his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Amen. Because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary as a spouse wife, being great with child. And I told the kids this Friday, I'm going to tell it to you again, Mary wasn't pregnant. Mary was with child. And if anyone is anyone right now that's preparing to have a baby, you're not pregnant. You're with child. I never call people pregnant. You're not pregnant. They want you to say pregnant so when they have abortions, when they have an abortion, see that you aren't killing nobody. But see, when you're with child, you have a baby there. When you have an abortion's murder, you're killing an innocent child. Isn't this a great Christmas message? But she was great with child, and so it was with while they were there. By the way, talk to people and say, you're with child. You're not pregnant, you're with child. You know, children, the lady, Mabel Cooper, she had 11 children, Mark. 96 grandchildren. 50 great-grandchildren and 30 great-great-grandchildren. That's a heritage. I read to him in Psalms 128. Says our children are like olive plants around the table. 127 of Psalms. Well, I better get back on this. And she brought, let me just stop on verse 7. I was going to read verse 20. Let's just read verse 20 because if I don't get preaching, we'll never get done here. And look at verse 6. And it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this great Christmas story. Thank you for a Savior that loved us and came from glory for us. And I pray I can be a blessing today. Oh God, please help me to be a blessing. I just want to be a blessing. Help us reach out and say the words that people need to hear today. Help me to be a vessel of honor for you, Father. And Lord, I pray for Josh. I pray that you'll just touch him, help him to be well, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As my kids always grew up as children, I'd always read, before I'd even let them read before they could open their Christmas presents, we'd always sit down and we'd always read the Christmas story. Every time I read this Christmas story, and every time you read it, it ought to warm your heart. Every time you hear this Christmas story, it ought to warm your heart. You ought to be excited. Christ came for you. This is for you. This is God's gift for you. But when you read this Christmas story, what an exciting story. Can you imagine how many times it's been read over and over and over? Down through the years, can you imagine how many people have read the Christmas story? I'm going to be reading again next week and that Wednesday. Did you ever wonder why Christmas is so special? I remember as a child being so excited about Christmas. I couldn't wait to... I'd go to bed at night. I'd lay in bed all night. Man, Annie, I was so excited. I would wake up 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. My dad said, go back to bed, boy. Man, I kept watching for the crack of dawn so I could run downstairs. And look at that Christmas tree with all the presents. Oh, man, Santa Claus. I used to leave out cookies and milk for Santa Claus. How many ever did that? And there had to be a Santa Claus bird, Jim, because the next morning when I got up, the cookies were gone and the milk was gone. Then I found out when I got older that really there wasn't one. It was my dad. Hello? How many remember that as a child? And Christmas every year was so special. But you know, my parents weren't saved. My mama got saved later. Hopefully my dad got saved before he passed. So I really didn't know really the great truth about Christmas. When you talk about Christmas, most people just think about Christmas presents. That's what Christmas is to most people. The Christmas tree and the glitter and the lights and everything like that. But that's really not Christmas. That's man-made Christmas, and that's a distraction to try to get you away from the truth of Christmas. I'm not trying to be the Grinch. I have a Christmas tree. We have lights. Rosie got a little snowman over there with the thing bubbling with a little snow, and my kids I'll have Christmas presents for them, you know. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to really focus on the real Christmas and why it's so special. And you think with me and dwell on this, why is Christmas so special? I mean, for you, when you read in this chapter, and we will next week, you read about these shepherds. Brother Mark, the shepherds and the angels appear to them. They say there's the Savior's being born, and they go and they see Christ. Betty, they see Christ that night. They see Christ that was born, and oh man, how exciting! And down through the years, thousands of years now, over 2,000 years, they've been telling about from the first time the shepherds went, people have been telling about that story. Can anyone say amen? I mean, think about this. Every part of the, not just the United States, but every part of the world. I mean, on planet Earth, the whole world celebrates Christmas. For 2,000 years, people on planet Earth have never ceased to celebrate Christmas, the birth of Christ. I know Satan hates it. The world hates it. Amen? The flesh hates it. But we as a spirit, we as Christians, we ought to love it. For 2,000 years, people have told the Christmas story. Why is Christmas so special? Why is Christmas so special? I mean, Christmas must be very, very important, and it must be very, very special, Evangelist Black, because for over 2,000 years, it's not been ceased to be told. It's not been ceased to be recognized. They've not ceased to celebrate it. I mean, Grandma, there's got to be something beyond the Christmas tree and ho, 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 and North Pole and all the pride. There's got to be something beyond that. I mean, there's got to be something there, Brother Freddie, that we need to grab hold of beyond what we see as artificial. For all the people of the world, for every year over all the planet, to celebrate Christmas. Let me just give you a few thoughts why Christmas is so important. Number one, I only got three here. I could list 20 of them. But I'll bring you some more in the next two services. Different thoughts from it. Christmas is so important, number one, because God proved and demonstrated to the world that he loved them. You see, the birth of Christ, God made a statement from all eternity, I love you. When Christ was born in Bethlehem, God demonstrated to you and I, he loved you. You think, no one loves me. God loves you. No one cares. God cares. Amen. I want you to look at the scripture with me. Look at Galatians 4, chapter 4, verse 4. Galatians, if you don't want to turn, just let me read it to you. But those that would like to turn with me, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. The Bible says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. There's a reason, though. To redeem them, verse 5, that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Can anyone say amen? Amen. No wonder they said, joy to the world! The Lord has come! Let earth receive their King! I'm going to tell you right now, when God sent Jesus down, number one, he demonstrated his love for you and I. The Bible says, he even took it even a step farther, in 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us. Aren't you glad he loved us today? And so, number one, when Jesus came, it was a demonstration of God's love that he cared about you and I. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, what? That he gave. Yeah. Let me give you the second reason. Christmas is so important because Christ brings hope to a lost world. Would you look at John chapter 3? I want you to look at something in John chapter 3. I said number one, Christmas is important because God approved and demonstrated he loved the world. Number two, I said Christmas is important because God loved us before. I said number one, that Christmas is important because God demonstrated his love for mankind. Number two, Christmas is important because it brings hope to a lost world. You know, the reason Jesus was born, folks, Bobby, there was one purpose for Christ to be born. There was only one purpose for Christ to be born. And that was for him to die. He came for one reason. He came to die for you and I. He came to, I read the in Galatians, he came to redeem us, to purchase us, to buy us back. How many are with us? Isn't this something God bought back what he already owned? You ever think about that? He's a creator. Look at John chapter 3. I'll try to get to it with you. John 3. I want you to look at verse 16. But I'm going to read verse 17 too. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. By the way, if he doesn't come, you don't have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, what? Might be saved. If the reason Christmas is so special, number one, because it demonstrated God loved us. Number two, it brought hope to mankind. See, the whole world was lost. Kenny, here's what I want you to get. If Jesus was never born, Kenny, then he would never die for our sins. If Jesus is not born, and he don't die for our sins, then and you and I are born sinners. We couldn't go, in other words, we could never go to heaven. See, if Christ don't come, Brother John, you and I are eternally lost without no hope. We're doomed for hell. There's no chance of eternal life. For God's love, that he gave us everlasting life. How many want to live forever? How many want to live forever in heaven? If he doesn't come, if you don't see that baby in the manger, you have no hope for eternity. You're forever doomed and damned to go in the depths of hell forever and ever and ever. No hope. That's why Romans 5:8 was written. But God commended his love towards us in that while we are sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Isn't that exciting? I mean, when you see that baby there, he breathed hope for you and I. If Jesus doesn't come to earth, not born to die for us, we have no eternal hope for heaven. Hebrews 9:27. Boy, Carl, I thought about this week. Hebrews 9:27, as it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this to judgment. I preached two funerals this week. And I'm going to tell you, they weren't easy. You know, and unless the rapture happens, unless the Lord doesn't come back in our lifetime, we'll all come to that grave. We'll all be, even Tommy mentioned at the testimony, we're all, and at the funeral home, we all got a casket waiting for us. And boy, I preached Mabel Cooper's funeral yesterday, and I really believe with all my heart that she trusted Christ her Savior. And Mark, it was so exciting because I told the people, man, I know Mabel's in heaven. The Bible says in Psalms, it says that we're God gives us 70 years, or if we're blessed, 80 years, and then it goes, but it says at the end, and we fly away. That's where you get that song, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away, bum, 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 when I die, hallelujah, bum, 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 I'll fly away. See, look up here. The moment a person dies, God made us in his image. How is God? He's a Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Freddie, we're a Trinity. Body, soul, and spirit. And when a person dies, that soul and spirit leave. The moment you die, that soul and spirit leaves. And by the way, that soul and spirit, that soul is made up. You got fingers, eyes, head, everything. It's like, you ever see, I'm not trying, Casper the Ghost? How many are with me? Boy, am I going to lose weight when I step out. Amen? What a weight plan. Whew. Finally kicked the habit. Amen, Brother Wes? Amen. Now watch. Did you know that they've actually shown that when a person, they've actually had people on a scale, they had somehow, and they when they died, they actually lost a fraction of it was very small, minimal, but they actually lost weight. That's because that soul and spirit literally leaves. Yes. Now watch. When you die, your soul and spirit, and by the way, there's angels there. Amen. If you're saved, there'll be angels there. The Bible teaches how Hebrews 1:14 says that that angels are ministering spirits to those that are heirs of salvation. There are always angels around Jesus. When Jesus went up to heaven, the angels accompanied him to heaven. When you die, if you're saved, you'll be accompanied to heaven by angels. On the counterpart, Brother Bobby, I believe lost people, they won't have angels, they'll have the devils of God. And just like the angels will usher you into heaven, the glory of heaven, if you're lost and you die without Christ, you'll be taken down, you'll be ushered into the damnation of hell by demons and devils. Whew, I'm glad I'm saved. Look up here, you got to get this. If Jesus is not born, you have no excitement for heaven. You have no hope. You have no joy. All you have is dread, thinking, oh man, when I die, I'm going to be in a place of eternal damnation of hell and gnashing of teeth and darkness everlasting. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what life would be knowing that you had no hope? Well, it would be terrible, Grandma. I'm so glad Jesus came. Amen. And brought hope. Amen. You say, well, what about the Old Testament people? He wasn't born to the New Testament. Yeah, but when Adam and Eve sinned, God killed a lamb. Yes. The Bible says in 3:21, he clothed them. Yes. That's why Abel offered up a lamb. God taught him and taught Adam and Eve the way you get to heaven is through the lamb. Yes, and John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. And by the way, that's why Cain wouldn't offer up a lamb. He didn't go to heaven either. He went to hell. God didn't accept that. See, all down through time, people had to look to the Lamb, Jesus. If you don't have faith in the Lamb, you're not going to heaven. You better get your faith in the Lamb of God. That I am that he sang about this, Mary's little lamb. Mary had a little lamb. She did. His name was Jesus. If you don't have him, you don't have heaven. But Brother Mike, if he doesn't come, we don't even have a hope of heaven. Isn't it sad he came to give all men eternal life and men still reject it? That's unbelievable. And I got thinking about, you know, when you die, by the way, are you ready to die? Are you ready to die? Mabel Cooper was ready. And by the way, Some things came up. She must have done some things earlier in her life before she got saved because there was some friction. And I didn't know about it. I knew Mabel in her twilight, and she glittered for me for Christ. But she had a legacy of something, maybe, I don't know what it was. I didn't try to find out. I don't want to know. By the way, there's a great picture. Her one son was a preacher, and he said, we need to forgive Mom as Christ forgave us. Amen. And God, I'll teach you tonight about that forgiveness. But you know what, folks? I'm glad even though she had sins, they were covered by the blood of Christ. Amen. And you know, when you die, what will people say about your life? I got thinking about this. For last week, I've heard about people telling about different people's lives. Or she was like this, or she did this, or she did this. What kind of legacy are you leaving behind? I mean, what are you leaving behind in your life? How are you living your life right now? If you would die tomorrow, today, you're going to stand before God. Would you be happy? Say, boy, are you pleased with my life? Hello? Kind of sobering, isn't it? I wonder, I wrote these questions down. Hey, what road are you on right now? What road are you on? Are you on the road to eternal life, or are you on the road to destruction? What would people say about your life if you died? What would Jesus say about your life? I preached last week to those churches about leaving a legacy. We ought to leave a legacy that we love God. We ought to leave a legacy that we live for God. We ought to leave a legacy that we long for God, for Christ. Amen? Nick trusted Christ this week. Preacher, I want to be saved. I said, why do you want to be saved, Nick? He said, because I don't want to die and go to hell. And I know I need Jesus to get me to heaven. Amen. He's a big guy, too. I don't want to argue with him. Amen. I said, all right, Nick. Why don't we get you saved right now? And right over the phone, Nick asked Christ to save his soul from where he worked. I said, Nick, you're on your way to heaven now. You know what? Nick got prepared. Actually, Sheila said, preacher, this was the greatest Christmas gift I ever could have got, knowing that Nick got saved. But really, it was the greatest Christmas gift that Nick ever received. Because, and by the way, if you haven't, he grabbed hold of what God really sent for him, eternal life. See, if you go through Christmas this year and you don't have Christ, you still haven't got the gift. You're still wanting, and you're still lacking, and you're still in danger of one heartbeat of leaving unprepared to meet God. And then lastly, number three, Christmas is so important because it was planned before the world began. Would you look at one more scripture with me? Look over in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at 18 through 20. 1 Peter near the back of your Bible. Chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Boy, they're really trying to pump gold right now. Man, buy gold, buy gold, buy gold. I'm going to tell you right now, if you'll study the scripture, it says your gold and silver is cankered. Gold and silver is not going to save you. That's the trouble with rich people. They put their faith in gold and silver. You ever notice that? Don't put your faith in that. You better put your faith in the one that made the earth, that made the sun, the stars, the sky. For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and things as silver and gold from their vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, Now watch verse 20. It's so I shared this with the kids Friday morning. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Woo-hoo-hoo! Hot diggity dog! Yabba-dabba-doo! You know why Christmas was so special? Because God ordained it before the world began. Get this. You got to get this, and I'm all done. I'm getting real close to being done. You know I'm not really done, don't you? Before God even made the earth, before God even made Adam and Eve, God in his infinite wisdom, because see, he's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. See, God knows what the future is even before the future happens. God looked down, God looked forward in time and saw man sinning, and he saw man in need of a Savior. He saw man condemned to go to hell and said, no, we can't have man go to hell. I need to send a Savior. And he's going to be born of a virgin in Bethlehem. Look up here. You got to get this. Christmas was foreordained by God. Kenny, that's before you and I ever was, before Adam and Eve. And aren't you glad it wasn't Adam and Steve?
Amen.
Colette, before God ever made the Smoky Mountains, before there ever was a West Virginia, that's almost heaven. It is. You got to be from West Virginia to understand what I'm talking about. Before there was a Texas, and you don't get no bigger than Texas. Ask Brother Jim. Before there was a Missouri, the Show Me State. Before the Smoky Mountains or the Appalachian Mountains or the Pacific or the Atlantic or the Gulf of Mexico, which I'd like to be right now, down in Naples. In the nice warm weather.
Amen.
Before all that, before man walked on this earth, Sergeant Cotiver, God was already planned the birth of Christ. Because Freddie, he was not before he could see before Christ could die on Calvary for us, he had to be born. And so all the preparations. All that what goes into Christmas was all planned by God.
Amen.
Only God for you and I. Isn't that exciting? Before the world began. That's some planning. Brother Mike, you're an administrator. I'm not. Now you're talking about God being an administrator. God is an administrator. Amen. He's highly organized. Amen? That's why all the earth and the planets don't collide too, by the way. Are you still with me? Think with me and I'm all done. Although man has tried to make Christmas commercial and take the truth from it, they see man has made it a holiday. But God made Christ's birth a holy day.
Amen.
You see, Christmas really is a holy day, not a holiday. Because it's all God coming down to man, for man. A holy God came down in a body of a man, of a boy, of a baby inside of the flesh, incarnate. God was in the Bible says that God was in Christ, reconciling us unto himself. Can you imagine the love of God? Unbelievable. You gotta come down for these guys, these old simple people, I'd say forget it, they're not worth it. But he still did. Shows you how great God is. Amen. Stay with me and I'll close with this. Think about the planning of Christmas. Just think about the planning of Christmas. 700 years before Jesus was born. And I'll probably show you some of this stuff next week or in whenever I preach these different messages. 700 years before Christ was ever born, the prophet Micah wrote that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. Christ just wasn't born in Bethlehem by accident. It was all pre-planned by God. The Bible says 700 years before Christ was born in Bethlehem, the Bible said he would be born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14. Folks, look up here. It was all planned by God. Did you even know when God made Eve, he was planning for Christmas? When God made Eve, he was preparing for Christmas. You see, when you ladies have a baby, the seed of man is the one that gives the blood, not the woman. See, Mary was just an incubator. The Immaculate Conception? Mary conceived of the Holy Ghost. There was no physical sex with Mary, with Joseph. How many are with me yet? No, matter of fact, Joseph never touched Mary till after Jesus was born. Scripture teaches that too. Jesus didn't have a human father. Jesus had the blood of God. He had to have the blood of God, Billy. He had to be Emmanuel. Because if his blood was tainted, he couldn't die for our sins. He had to have holy blood so he could die for unholy people. So the Immaculate Conception was planned by God. The birth was planned by God. Bethlehem, the place. And the very time. If you study in Daniel, in Daniel 9:25, 500 years before Christ was born, the Bible, the prophet Daniel said that the Messiah would come after 69 weeks. In the Bible, many times a week represents 7 years. And 7 times 69 is 483. And if he said, from the going out of the command to rebuild Jerusalem. If you remember when Nehemiah went back to rebuild Jerusalem? All they had to do, Jimmy, is take the command from the king then and go 483 years. And the exact date, Lizzie, they actually had the exact time, the exact date, if they just would have studied the scriptures. They had the time, the place, and how he would be born. They had it all. Yet when Jesus came, they didn't even know it. Matter of fact, there was no room for him. I think this year we ought to make room for him. That's why it's so special. Because Christmas was planned by the Almighty. Can I ask you a question? This year, would you take some time, and I'm going to keep preaching some thoughts about Christmas. Would you take some time this Christmas and reflect about the importance of Christmas? Christmas really is important, and it's way beyond Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And it's really beyond the North Pole and all the things that you... And I'm not the Scrooge. Don't misunderstand me. I like Christmas. But let's embrace the holy day of Christmas. Let's embrace our Savior that came. Let's really be excited. I don't know if he was born on December 25th. That's a date that they've set aside. I'm just thrilled that the world has a date that they set aside to honor the birth of my Savior. And I'm going to take that date and I'm going to embrace it as a holy day for us. To celebrate the importance of Christmas. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. I pray, dear God, with all my heart, that people here today would realize the greatness and the importance of Christmas. How you made it so special. And how it should be so special to us. And I pray, dear Father, if there's people here today that's never really thought about when they die, where they go, I pray today they would think about that. And they would prepare to meet God. We all got to walk that lonesome valley. Lord, I'm glad Psalms 23 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I pray, dear God, every person here will know you as their personal Savior. And that if they have to walk through that valley of the shadow of death, that they'll walk with you, that you be with them. Especially after all you did to come down at Christmas so they could not have to walk alone. Christmas, you came so we could have a Savior. Help them to realize the importance of that birth of Christ and all that he did for us. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder this morning, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure there was a day I saw myself a lost sinner going to hell. I'm not talking about being baptized. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm talking about, do you know a time in your life where you saw yourself a lost sinner going to hell and you needed Christ to save you? And say, Preacher, I know for sure I'm saved. I'd go to heaven. You could raise that. I'm positive. I know for sure I'm saved. I know for sure I'm saved. Thank you. You may put them down. Would there be any today that say, Pastor, I'm not sure. Preacher, I'm really not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to split hell wide open. I'd sure hate to miss out in heaven after all Christ did for me so I could go. Would you pray for me? I won't come to you, but I'll pray for you. Preacher, include me in, just raise your hand. Include me in that. Preacher, would you include me in your prayer? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I'd sure like to know 100%. Yes, sir. God bless you. It took courage to do that. Anyone else? Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to miss out on heaven. I really don't. Pastor, pray for me. I don't want to miss out on Christmas. I'm so glad Brother Nick did now. He is our brother now. I'm glad Nick's not going to miss out all those years. He said, well, I believe there's God, but he didn't know Christ as a Savior. Now he knows him. Make sure you know him. Make sure you know him. Maybe you're a Christian, but you've not been walking the way God would have you be walking. You know you're doing things that God's displeased with. You'd say, pray for me, preacher. I'm really doing things that God's not pleased. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes, 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 yes. God bless you, yes. Let me encourage you to turn to God. Draw close to him. Let him give you the victory in your life. Heavenly Father, first of all and most of all, I pray for those that don't know you as Savior, Lord. I know I saw at least one hand. There might have been more. But I know I saw one hand for sure. That they're not sure if they died, they'd go to heaven. And Lord, what a tragedy for people to get to the end of their life and not even be able to know when they die they're going to go to heaven. And dear God, the worst part, die and go to hell forever and ever and ever, when they could have had the gift of eternal life just for the asking. It's free. It's free for the asking. And Lord, I pray for Christians on both sides. Maybe they've got into some things they're not supposed to be doing. Help them, Father. Help them to turn from those things and to turn to you. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. What page are you on, Mark? 218. If you'd like to come, you come right now.